This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praises be to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. This is the fourth in our series, fourth workshop in our series. In this workshop, I will show you some sample lesson plans which were developed by different schools in different parts of the world and which have been Islamized according to the principles that we spoke about. You can see how it was done. You have already turned in your lesson plans, those of you that brought lesson plans. And those lesson plans are currently being scanned so that we can look at them together in the next workshop, session 5. We can look at them together to address your own circumstance here and the lesson plans that you have as a sample to give you a feel for how this can be done or should be done. Now, I would like to suggest to you that if you want a certificate for having done this course, you register online, you go to the website www.iou.edu.gm, and there you go to the free diploma campus, the free diploma campus. You register for the free diploma. There's no cost involved. That's why it's called the free diploma. And you will see a range of subjects that you can take. The lesson plan Islamization course will be there among the new courses that are available. Lesson plan Islamization. You need just go on to that course after registering. You go on and you take that course. Taking the course for you means doing the exams. There are tests for each section, but it's all what we have covered. If you want to go back over it again before doing the test, you may do so. At any case, or at any rate, you complete those tests there, and once that's done, you will request for certificate, and an electronic certificate will be sent to you. You can have this certificate printed on regular paper, A4, or you can get it printed in a print shop on, you know, thicker cardboard or type paper and frame it and keep it as your certification that you did the lesson plan Islamization course. Okay? I will be doing other courses and offering other courses in the future towards increasing your knowledge in this field. And as I recommended, you have also the option of taking a certificate or diploma in education from our Islamic College of Education to further enhance your skills, about which we spoke, the importance of having the proper skills to do this job, so that we can know at the end of the day we have done the best that we possibly could. We have given the children their rights, and we have given the management their rights, and we have received our rights. Now, looking at practical example of daily lesson plans. This is from a school in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. This is biology, grade 9. The topic is the cell. So, this was the lesson plan which was created by one of the teachers. In their lesson plan, they indicate the duration of the class, etc. The objectives, we see the objectives there, the components and function of the standard cell. This is what, to clarify, actually the wording should be to explain or to clarify or to understand. And about the variation of sizes, shapes and sizes of the cells according to their function. Then we added from principle 3. What was principle 3? Relevant Quranic verse. Then the meaning of the Quranic statement that man was created from clay. Because this will be a confusion. Here they have studied, you know, about how the cell is composed. There is no clay here. So it would seem to contradict what the Quran says. So this is where, you know, as a teacher, you would bring the Quranic verse, just the section that says, and Allah created Adam from clay. So how would you clarify for the students that there is no contradiction between what they're studying about the composition of the cell and the fact that the Quran states human beings were made from clay? Somebody. We don't have any science teachers here?
I would say that it is from, it's the making of clay that became cell. From the clay, it became a cell. Allah used the clay and it became a cell.
Do you think that would be clear to the students?
Our brother told the proof that Allah made life out of the clay. He said, be, and it is. From there, Allah made the life.
Okay. Would that solve the problem for the kids? Pardon? You're not a science teacher. Okay. That Adam was created from clay and then the rest of his descendants were made from cells. We need a science teacher here. We don't have any science teachers. No, the bottom line is what? my major in university was biochemistry. Okay? So, it's obvious to me. Clay is earth. Earth is composed of chemicals. You know, we see it as earth, but if you break it down, it is composed of various chemicals. And these cells are made of chemicals. So there is no contradiction here. Because when you break down the cell, it's going to break down into components. So you, as a teacher of science, you can give them exactly what those components are. And you show that in Earth, those same components are there. So when you say, just like human beings are made from clay, are we clumps of clay walking around today? Okay. So, in the same way, though, meaning that our essential materials were taken from the earth, it doesn't mean that we are earth. You understand? I think they can grasp that point. So, in the class, how the class structure is set up, the students are asked about their previous lesson, whatever it was. Actually, if you're making a lesson plan, then what the previous lesson was should have been included. You know? We can't really talk about it because we don't know what it was relative to the teacher who produced this. Then, our Islamization comes in here in the introduction of the class. Principle one, which is the oral and visual class environment. Of course, we greet the students. Assalamu alaikum. We have pictures and charts related to cells. But those pictures and charts, which are normally made, they are made in a vacuum. They are not made with any kind of intent to convey anything beyond the chart itself. We need to prepare our own chart. We don't just go and buy whatever is sold in the bookstore. We can take what was in the bookstore and we work with it. We have our art department. So we tell the art department to show the form of the cell, etc. But bring in something in that chart which will, whether it is that same issue of clay and its composition that is added there, Quranic verses added to the chart, so this becomes also further reinforcement of Quranic relevance to modern science. Principle two, historical relevance. What we would do here would be to go back and find from our book, 1001 Muslim Inventions, we would find the Muslim biologists who nobody knows about. Huh? Nobody. You're all adults. If I ask you, name me one Muslim biologist, what can you bring up? What can you do? What can you say? So, this is the time. We bring in the historical relevance. You let them be aware of a great Muslim biologist of the past. Or it could be somebody from the present. You know? So as I said, when you're preparing, you're going to have to do a little bit of work here. You know? All you have to do is Google Muslim biologist. And you'll get all kinds of stuff now on Google. Okay, so you can bring somebody from the present, maybe who has contributed something major in the field of biology today, and you bring somebody from the past, you know, 500 years ago, 800 years ago, who contributed to the field of biology. So you let them know his name, place of birth, and his contribution. Brief. You're not turning it into a history class. Right? This is one of the things that you have to be careful of. That in your enthusiasm to Islamize, you overwhelm the student with information until the actual core of the class you're supposed to be teaching gets lost. Yeah? So we have to keep this balanced. You bring in only enough to let them know. Because remember, this is actually subtle, subliminal education. You could call it indoctrination. That's what we're doing, subtly. Because we're not telling them, I'm telling you about this biologist because I want you to be able to connect, you know, biology with the family. No, you don't go into all that. This is the theory that you understand behind it. This is the tool by which you do that. You fulfill that principle number two. Then, the basic cell structure and its components are introduced. At this point, for your course, because of what is happening in science, when they're teaching the development of the cell. And remember, in modern science today, they teach that the cell came about by accident. By accident. So what you want to demonstrate to them, because this is a classical case, demonstrate to them how this could never have happened by accident. Never. Because in the end, when you show them all of the components of the cell, the nucleus, the mitochondria, which is in the cytoplasm around the nucleus, and the cell wall, which holds it all together, you ask them, do you think this could happen by accident? A cell wall accidentally captured some cytoplasm and captured a nucleus. You think this is likely? The cell wall doesn't think and function by itself. You understand what I'm saying? It will be very obvious. It will be just like a clock. You take a clock, you take it apart, we see that clock working wonderfully. You take a clock apart into its parts. You ask people, do you think any accident could cause all of these pieces to come together into a working clock? The same way, look at the cell. The cell is a million times more complicated than the clock. So what do you think? See, once you give that message to them, later on, when they hear accident, they know this is totally ridiculous. So this is the time when we give them the clear evidences that we are not here by accident. And you're dealing with biology. This is still your same biology class. You're still teaching the cell, teaching the components of the cell, etc., etc. Then, moving on, a presentation is given there in the class. It's planned, a 35-minute presentation. And the teacher who had done this had done their Islamization by adding a definition of alaqa, the Arabic word meaning leech-like suspended thing, blood clot. But my note under that, if you can read that, is it's irrelevant to the class. So not appropriate for starting the class. You know? It's not just sticking in something. Well, it's from the Quran, alaqa. Usually when people talk about science and Quran, they talk about alaqa. That is one of the favorite topics. The leech-like clot. This is the stages that the embryo goes through, when it is developing, you know. And it is something of note from a miraculous perspective that, you know, this could not be observed by the naked eye, but it was spoken about by the Quran 1,400 years ago. So that's true, wonderful, beautiful, but it doesn't belong in this class. It's not relevant here. So we're not just bringing things to convince them in a general sense. We still have to maintain our class, what the purpose of the class, what the concepts were. We have to keep working with that. So the class went on to a discussion by demonstration about the cell structure, its function of its components, etc. Show the students variation of sizes and shapes of cells relative to their function. D, define unicellular and multicellular organisms and give examples. Now the verse describing the stages of the development of the human being, this is where it fits in. This is the, so here, the development of the embryo starts with a single cell which multiplies and becomes a structure of many cells going through different phases. So this is where you can introduce it. Then motivation. The teacher mentioned about the motivation. I say, what do you mean by motivation here? Most cells are small in size, but the egg cells of the birds are large. Okay, showing different cells of different sizes. Teaching aid, the microscope. Here, we can mention that the Quran described the human embryo, should be missing from there, before the invention of the microscope. This is the place. Because in your class, you're talking about, if you're teaching aids, you're using a microscope. What is the significance of the microscope relative to the cell, etc.? With before the microscope. The microscope is developed, what, in the 13th century or 14th century, and 1,400 years ago, the Quran spoke about what could not be seen without the microscope. There is your point. And then the summary of the class. Okay, so that was a class on cell biology for grade 9 students. Example, a sample of Islamized lesson plans. Huh? This is lesson plans for KG1. We're jumping all over. People send in their plans and we did them. This is for Basira School in Mombasa, Kenya. They're also engaged in the lesson plan Islamization project that we're working on. They've, in their lesson plan, then you see they've organized the top of it, the class, date, time, subject, etc. The topic, read and write capital D. This is language, English. Okay, so English teaching is, okay, how do we Islamize teaching capital D? You might say, not possible. Can you say there's a little D and a big D, that's it? What can you make Islamic on that? Huh? So, subtopic to read and write, capital D, big D, little D. Objectives, by the end of the lesson, children should be able to read and write, capital D and small D. Okay. That's the syllabus source. Lesson preparation. So now, the class begins. Their lesson plan is organized in chart form. To introduce a letter song, A, B, C. This is like the song that we had played here before, A, B, C. Yeah? And children, the activity, children will sing the letter song. You have flashcards, resources. To discuss and teach them how to read and write capital D, little D. Okay, chart. Islamic pictures. Because we're showing capital D and little D. Now that capital D can have a background. That background can be an Islamic background. of some sort. And preferably, it will be a background which relates to how you're going to Islamize capital D. So, when you go down to teach them about D, in the regular class, they will say D for duck, right? Or D for door. D, these are the... So now what you start off with D for dua. D for dua. And then you make a picture of a little boy and girl sitting on the prayer mat making dua. Okay, you now began the process of Islamizing capital D. And D for door, you can still teach D for door, but now you teach them principle 5. Principle 5, a moral lesson, right? The moral principle. That when you knock on the door 3 times, they don't answer, what do? Go away. You just taught them a piece of Islamic etiquette, moral etiquette, while teaching capital D for door. D also for dad. Capital D. D for dad. So you show a father figure, you know, with his cap and dress, etc. That's dad. And with D for dad, you teach again principle 5. Obey dad. If dad tells you to do something, you obey him. And there is a game which they teach in those lower grades. I think it's Simon Says. Huh? Simon Says, do this, and then they do some game. I can't remember the details. I just remember Simon Says. Huh? Okay, so instead of Simon Says, Dad Says. So, you hear, see what's happening? You see how we are bringing in our moral principles without it being formal. It's just thinking a little bit. Huh? So we make up a new game based on Simon Says, but instead it is Dad Says. They can enjoy it, and they're learning about obedience to Dad. Simon Says, it's who's Simon? Who's Simon? English teachers. Who is Simon? Nobody knows who Simon is. Right? So, you know, for us, whatever we're teaching, it should be relevant. It has meaning. We are not just teaching things for the sake of teaching. So with that kind of approach, then we try to find ways and means by which we can influence the children Islamically through whatever we're teaching. D also, capital D, D for doll. So we have, I don't know if you've seen the dolls from Iran, they made this replacing Barbie with an Islamic girl doll, fully hijab and all these things. So that's the picture that you show. Right? Is that difficult? So in this way, again, because the doll is legitimate Islamically, we are allowed to have, children are allowed to have dolls. Prophet Muhammad allowed Aisha to have, so it's possible. And for the Quranic verse, principle 3, when we did dua, then we give them which verse? Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah said, call on me and I will answer you. So in that little verse, we're giving them also clear messages. You don't call on anyone besides Allah in dua. There's Tawheed right there. Do you need to have a class on Tawheed after this? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Asma wa Sifat and Uluhiyyah for kids and that grade, of course, it has no meaning to them. This is how you teach them. And the knock on the door three times, that was from principle four. That is the relevant hadith. You brought in a relevant hadith in that lesson. Okay, before that, anybody had any comment, question they'd like to add to this class? This is teaching capital D and little d. So it means the whole alphabet. Those of you teaching English, the same thing. For A, B, C, you work all your way through, you do the same thing that this is done. You can prepare that. From this, you can prepare an alphabet book where these same principles are put in the book. You don't have to think anymore. Each time you have to teach a lesson, it's already prepared. So you who are teaching English, you work on it ahead of time, prepare up for all the letters, work out these kind of details for all the letters, then that makes class so much easier for you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I think with the letters, when you can also name the prophets that begin with the letter for the sound. Like
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that if we go to the story of Prophet Dawood, and now we're going off, right? You know, that is this. When you are doing a thematic approach, maybe if your theme for the week or for the month are the prophets, then maybe you can put it in the class that way. But as a straight class, just teaching the letter, I wouldn't go too deep into the life of Prophet Dawood and, you know. Enough we say Dawood. Prophet Dawood. One of our prophets. That's enough, without going into detail. Because remember now, this was KG. Right? So, the depth will be for the higher grades. Any comments, brother's side? Comment or question? Yeah?
How could this be implemented by a non-Muslim teacher?
How could this question, how could this be implemented by a non-Muslim teacher? It should have Muslim teachers. That is the norm. Now, you're dealing with abnormal circumstances. Right? When we deal with abnormal circumstances, then we have to put in place some other supports to help them do that job. And that's why I also said that in creating this, we need to bring the teachers from the various schools together to make that master lesson plan. So that in the next year, even your non-Muslim teacher can use your master program, manual, and teach. Okay, those teachers, those Christian teachers who would have a problem with supporting the examples in their lessons from a verse from the Quran, you say, Ma'asalama. Nice having you with us. But we need somebody who will be more cooperative and ready to do what they're asked to do. It's as simple as that. If you have somebody who is amongst you who is so rigid, I'm a Christian, I cannot quote from the Quran, that's not the type of teacher you need in your school. No matter how skilled she may be, let them go. You need people who are going to be cooperative, who are willing to go along with the program. People who are not willing to work with the program, who are going to insist on their, then you have a problem. Because this person is going to be feeding those children, when you don't know it, their stuff. Serious. So my advice is, such a teacher, let them go. Okay. Any further point, question? Go ahead. Wa alaykum salam.
I just wanted to emphasize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَغْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَا النَّصَارَىٰ حَتَّى تَجْعَلْ مِلَّتَهُ. And secondly, I would advise...
Translate that to the people.
Now,
translate the verse for me.
The Yahud and the Nasara, they will not accept, they will not agree with you. They will always not want to follow your path, not until you follow theirs. They want to always, they want to impose their ideas on your own. So we should be careful while employing Christian teachers. Meanwhile, I also want to advise in addition that there are Muslim teachers, very good ones. But it depends on the way and manner at which you can get them. For example, if it's out to Lagos State, you find Muslims, good mathematics teachers, English teachers who are staying there without job. And they are good ones, you can employ them. If we also extend your journey to a place like Ghana, you get good teachers. But it's the pay. If you give them the accommodation, you get them. But because of the fact that we are trying to establish an Islamic school, then you also take the pain of giving them a good accommodation, good salary, and let them pay out the school fund.
We have a price to pay. For recruitment, we have to be prepared to go beyond Kaduna. That's the point. You know, Nigeria is a big country. Well over 90 million Muslims. You can find the teachers. If you look hard enough and you're ready to pay a reasonable pay.
We have security issues
and all, but you know, in the end, we still have to try. We try. And we have to, again, think out of the box. We're in that Kaduna box, right? We need to think outside of the box. Right? Inshallah. Thank you. Good point. Okay, let's move on. Another example from Basira School, Mombasa again, Kenya. This is KG2. The theme is water. Sub-theme, uses of water. Objectives, by the end of the lesson, the learner should be able to do number work, carry out an activity on filling and emptying to find out how many small containers would fill a big container. Science from it, because in that grade, they don't separate science as a separate subject. Everything is interwoven into each subject. So the science element, name the condition necessary for the growth of a plant. You know, this water, obviously. Language, read and write 4 to 5-letter words. Wash, cook, clean, drink, well, river. This is all, again, related to water, teaching them also vocabulary words. Here, you know, we can do some Islamic addition. Narrate the story of the well of Zamzam and how it was formed. Kids love stories. So this has a place here at that level. Number four, this is IRE is Islamic Religious Education. Know how to perform ablution in the most perfect manner and identifying the far parts, avoid wastage of water. Okay, so a bunch of points that can be developed there. You're dealing with water. We show them also go through wudu with them, make sure they're doing it properly. Then social and life skills, because their lesson plan is broken down in this particular fashion. Wash a handkerchief and identify their uses. And the importance of cleanliness in Islam. You know, that is their effort at Islamization after we had gone through the LPI principle. Experimenting, memorizing, demonstrating, observing, listening, watching. These are the teaching and learning activities. Teaching, learning sources, Holy Quran, Hadith. They just mentioned in general, they've not mentioned the Hadith. One point to note, in their mention here, they have Holy Quran. Beware of this. This terminology, the Holy Quran. I think you're used to it. But the Holy Quran comes from the Holy Bible. That's where the idea of holy this and holy that comes from. The Quran describes itself as Al-Quran Al-Azim. The magnificent Quran. Al-Quran Al-Karim. The noble Quran. And so on and so forth. It doesn't call itself Al-Quran Al-Muqaddas. This terminology is not used. So just remove that from your vocabulary. Holy Quran, Holy Prophet, you know, just wipe it out. Okay, principle one, visual environment. Images or models, children making wudu. That's principle one we have introduced there, the physical environment concerning the water. Principle two, from 1001 Inventions, choose one, the water wheel, the water clock. These are among the inventions, Muslims' inventions concerning water. You can pull that out and show it to them. Reference, here it is again, Holy Quran. Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 30, Naba 14, Maida 6, Hadith, etc. Lesson development. Okay, so that's the basic core. There it is spread out in a chart form. Principle 1, the Quranic verse which is relevant. Teacher explaining about water. Here we choose a Quranic verse on water. There are many, many verses in the Quran regarding water. Teachers use different containers. Okay, this is just. Then principle four, the Hadith. Don't waste water even if you're on the bank of a river. I mean, one of the bad practices, malpractices, among children and amongst adults is the wastage of water. You know, making wudu, people have the taps just gushing there. The Prophet ﷺ used to make wudu from a glass. Now you might think, how in the world could you make wudu from a glass? Glass and water. One glass of water. Yes. We make wudu with enough to make 3 ghusls. And you heard what the Prophet ﷺ said. Even if we're on the bank of a river, we should not be excessive in our use of water. Teacher give them some work to do in their books. Okay, step one in science. The teacher is introducing the lesson with a verse from Surah Taha, and we sent down water rain from the sky, and explain the ayah. The teacher let them
do it practically. Okay, sources of water, where the water comes from, right? Continuing in science, the teacher names the conditions necessary for the growth of the plant. Rain is included. Principle 3, again, verse on rain. And step 3, sources of water. And this is where we have the Quranic references to rivers and to streams, to rain, to other sources. Teacher writes on the board words about water and let the children copy in their books. When writing about words about water, this is where you can introduce other Islamic terminologies. Give me 5 words about water which are Islamic. Huh? Yeah, English, Arabic, you know, which will be of common use. Not Arabic, which they never heard of. Arabic, which is in common use. He said wudu. That was one, right?
Rain.
Huh?
Rain.
A word which is specifically Islamic. Huh? Okay, remember now, where are we? We are KG2. Are we going to tell them ghusl? Remember, this is inappropriate. We talked about this. Is inappropriate ghusl for them at that level. Huh? Huh? Miswak? But that's not water. Zamzam? Okay, that was a word. Huh? Tahara, yes. Tahara.
Kauthar, river in paradise.
Kauthar, yes. River, river in paradise. One more. Huh? Cleanliness, this was Tahara. When we give them the Arabic term, we should also give them the English meaning. Arabic. Huh? Okay.
Ma.
Well, ma is the Arabic word. Like, you know, water. So. Huh? Nahar. Okay, that's the Arabic word for river. Okay. You know, okay, here we're mentioned because we said river and we talked about the river in paradise. But inshallah, this is the idea. You know, this is what was required here. This was language that they had to produce this. And then, when writing the words, 4 and 5 letter words, referring back to water, like the words wash, cook, well, river, we show the image of the well of Zamzam. The river, we show the river, and we mentioned that there is also a paradise called Kauthar, you know. And we try to bring the two together. The teacher distributes flashcards. She tells the story of Zamzam, how it was formed. Okay. Islamic religious education. Teacher introduces the lesson with a verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, O you who believe, incomplete. Teacher identifies the 5 parts of wudu. Teacher ends the lesson with a song because the kids like songs. You know the song, this is the way I wash my face. You know? Okay, we have another song that came from, right? No harm. We replace it, make an Islamic version. Yeah? So wudu is described in song fashion, something the student kids enjoy. Teacher introduces a lesson with the hadith, cleanliness is half of faith, you know, and explain its meaning. that's IRE. Then social skills at the end, the teacher teach them not to misuse or waste water. We said that's with the moral principle, which they learn from it, quoting the hadith, La tusrif fil ma walau kunta fi nahrin jari. Okay, any comments or additions or questions? No? Is your hand up or you just... Okay, moving on. This is KG3, also Basira School. Topic is our home. Subtopic, utensils, objectives. By the end of the lesson, the learner should be able to draw and name kitchen utensils. Teaching aids, charts, real objects, blackboard, books, pencils, rubber. Reference, High Flyer series, and the Quran. Okay? Teacher asks the pupil oral questions. For me, I added, what would those oral questions be? Teacher revised with the previous work. Again, what was the previous work? This is just the intro into the class. Of course, because the class is on our home, then principle one would be to have images of a Muslim home, right? What would reinforce in them, in their minds, what a Muslim home should look like. And of course, a Muslim home, I mean, if we were going to do a picture of a Muslim home, what would we do which would strike them as what should be in a Muslim home? Should be clean, you're saying?
The whole family praying Jama'ah in it.
Within the, a picture of the living room or whatever and the family praying together there. That's a good image, yeah?
No pictures hanging on the wall. No pictures hanging on the wall.
Yes, no pictures hanging on the wall. Pictures meaning pictures of people, right? A prayer mat, yes.
Maybe a Quran mat, a shop.
Quran in a stand somewhere, yes. Anything else?
The family having dinner, and the mother is
preparing dinner. Yeah. Yes. A family setting of preparing dinner, offering dinner, and everybody eating together and dressed in an Islamic way. This is the symbols of the Islamic home. Because, I mean, a home is a home in general. The issue is just, what do we put in that home? What symbols and signs we can put in the home which will strike the child as being a Muslim home? Because what happens if you just go to the bookstore, you just try to find a picture of a home, I mean, the home usually would be some Western home. You know, maybe very modern, very stylish, very whatever. But then there are no signs of Islam in there. That's what we don't want. We want whatever we put up there should have some message being given. A moon. Well, watch out for the moon. You know, the crescent. Watch out for the moon. This moon crescent, the crescent, which has become, you know, a big enough symbol that we stick it on top of our mosques and it's in the flags of many Muslim countries, actually, it is not an Islamic symbol. You know? We have used it, it's like, you know, the Red Cross and the Red Crescent. You know? We have used it as an alternative to the cross. And the cross and the crescent, you know?
but really, it has created in the minds of people, you know, some attachment to an object really which has no specific Islamic significance. Beyond the fact that the month starts with the crescent moon and it ends with the crescent moon. That's it. It's just when we're looking to find out when the month starts, this is when it has a place. But to say as a symbol of Islam, and that's what it's become. Actually, this is a bid'ah. Because today, if a Christian were to throw a crescent on the ground and stamp on it, the country would be up in arms. You know? Just as if we were to take a cross, throw it on the ground, and we stamp on it, the Christians would be up in arms. But it's not right. Yeah, the Christians can be up in arms because it has that kind of significance to them. But for us, the crescent means nothing. You can break it, throw it, bend it, do whatever you want with it. It has nothing really to do with Islam. Anyway. Anything else? Huh? Yeah, the du'as for entering the home and the bathroom and the things of the home, yeah. It could, but it's a little difficult to show that in a picture, you know. Unless you show people walking into the home, for example, and then you put, you know, the du'a there. Okay, the teacher demonstrates to the children a chart of kitchen utensils and introduces a verse from the Quran about utensils. Surah An-Naba. The students, in terms of activities, they recite the ayah after her. Okay, with the meaning, no harm. That is principle 3. The teacher introduces a hadith in drinking, لا يشربن أحدكم قائما, that it is preferable not to drink standing. This is the hadith, principle number 4. Discourage them from, this is Islamic etiquette.
Okay.
Huh?
That can go with the water. Lesson.
That could go in the water lesson also, yes. Yeah. And this is where, when the teachers get together, you'll be able to share what each teacher, each school has come up with and find the best and, you know, etc. So as little kids, you know, there's repeating after the teacher, they've included that in the teaching activities. Of course, this drinking standing is not actually, it's not haram. It is preferable not. But you have to make that clear. Huh? Is there anything else we could add to that class? Right? This was the home. Anything else from our principle? Well, I think in this case here, what's not mentioned here, but what I would say is that you're dealing with KG3. The kids love stories. A story should be there. You know? If you can't write a story as a KG3 teacher, and you should be creative. You should be able to put together a little story for them. And in that story, you know, you bring some your moral message there in the story. So I would say try to introduce a story
helping
with a moral message.
Helping around the home.
Helping around the home, yes. Something like this. There's so many others, which are because we're dealing with
the home. So the home and the things connected to the home. So let the story be about the home. So it's a relevant story. What else could be done? Yeah, a rhyme. For that age, rhymes are very important. So some rhyme developed about around the utensils, because since that's one of the key things, you know, what you use each utensil for. This is where a certain amount of creativity needs to be introduced. You know, I'm sure amongst the teachers there are some poets. Some people who like to write poetry, like to write. So once you are into writing poetry, then writing rhymes and things like this becomes very easy for you. So this is what you need to beef up that KG, lower KG, to produce more rhymes, to, you know, maybe even get some nasheed artists to do it for them so they can, in a song fashion, they can sing it, whatever, without musical instruments. Inshallah. Okay? Where are we? 23. Okay. Oh, this is 2 plus 2 equals 4. We already did this one. Okay. And if you look at it, this was standard 3. This is Unity School in Chennai, India. Right. Starting with the Basmala images, Islamic images, principle 2, invention of Arabic numbers. You know, the numerals that they're learning, they're called Arabic numerals. You can show them how 2, for example, in Arabic is just turning the Arabic 2 on its side. That's where the 2 came from. And the 3, and so on and so forth. So that provides your principle 2, historical relevance. Principle 3, Allah stated, do prayer regularly to remember me. Right? Okay, so this is the point here. If one prays 2 rak'at, it's again 2 plus 2 equals 4, of sunnah, of fajr, and 2 rak'at of fard, what is the total number of rak'at that you pray? 4. That was 2 plus 2 equals 4, Islamically. Principle 4. The Prophet ﷺ had 3 daughters and 3 sons. How many do they have in total? Because 2 plus 2 includes, when you're teaching that class, you're teaching 3 plus 3, 4 plus 4, all of those. Huh? So here, again, put into an Islamic context. Moral message. The kid with the 2 riyals, or 2 naira. And the further moral message at the bottom, Allah's oneness, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, not 1. Okay, that concludes the presentation of some samples of lesson plans from different parts of the world and how they have been Islamized. Inshallah, how much time has elapsed here now?
Yeah,
okay. We can go into the break. After the break, we'll come back with the with your lesson plans. You got them? Good. All right. Before we do that, anybody has any questions or comments on what we've done so far? Please, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh.
Muhammad Tani Muhammad from Usra Academy. My question is this. Sometimes in class, we get carried away and we make up stories that are not even true to get their attention. So my question is this. Is it really permissible for us to create stories that are not true so that we can get their attention and then for them to pass the point we are trying to make?
Up stories and presenting them as truth, then this is not permissible. But if we are making a story, which we have explained to them, this is a story, then it is permissible to illustrate a point in story form. Further comment or question?
My name is Zainab Muhammad from Alamana Academy. At times, children do certain kind of behavior that is not right or conducive, that you keep telling them that it's not right. And I know that they like stories, so I do tell them stories that it's not real, but from what they have done. And I'll give different names because I don't want them to feel as if I am saying what they've done in front of someone else, or of everyone, and they will feel bad. So I'll give other names and then I'll say whatever that issue that they have done to make them understand that it's not right. And then I'll tell them, okay, this child A and child B, which one did the right thing and which one did the bad thing, and they will all say this one and that one. So okay, so are you going to do this or that? Then they will choose the other. And all this I told them is from the actual that they have been doing in class, just to correct what they've done. So is it okay?
This is okay. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use this, you know, when correcting in public individuals, he would speak about one who does so and so, without pointing out that particular individual, etc. So this is permissible. Further question?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
I didn't know what is the advice for us. Some of our pupils and students in the school, we are trying to Islamize everything about them. And part of the way we Islamize them is writing on the boards and also compelling them to also write on their notes anytime they copy notes, Bismillah and Afghan in our name. So, but there is this challenge, maybe when they are writing their waek or external examination, some of the people that mark these papers are not Muslims. So when they see them write Bismillah and even if the content of the question or the answers are okay, they feel very aggrieved about it and say, what nonsense is this? So what do you advise?
Them not to write it in their examinations. Because it's not compulsory. It's not a requirement. It's a good thing. But if it's going to bring harm to them, then it's not worth it. Your Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed to have the title Messenger of Allah removed from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, then surely we can let Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim go.
My question is, when we're Islamizing lesson plans and we're applying one of the principles, are we required to indicate that we're applying a particular principle, or we can just apply it and not indicate?
The indication is only for us, you know, to keep track of trying to introduce all five possible, right? And for review purposes. But in general, it's not required. You know, this is how we have taught it, so that you are aware and conscious to try to introduce each and every one that's possible. So it's not a requirement, we can say that. It's not a requirement to include it there. Hope will come out of our gathering. committee of heads of the school, principals, etc., which will be the Islamization of Curriculum Committee for Kaduna. If they decide that it is better to put the principal in, because at the end of the year when we sit down, it's easier to see, did you do or you didn't do? For that purpose, maybe, we can say, fine. But technically speaking, it's not a requirement. We just look at the benefit. If it is something beneficial, which would help in the end, because we have to think in terms of what's our goal. Our goal is next year, end of the year, we sit down, go over the lesson plans. It is much easier to see, okay, did somebody get in principal one? Did we get somebody else? No, no, we didn't get it, so and so. Principal five, yes, we got it. You know, it's much easier for us to sit and combine. Sister, in the
My name is Fatima Abubakar from Alamana Academy. To answer my brother's question, I think what we need to do as teachers is to make these children believe in the power of Bismillah and to teach the children to see whatever action they're going to take. Because we should be also concerned with where these ancestors are going. They could be trampled upon and used to clean and so many dirt and so on. So we should teach them to accept that as Muslims we need to say Bismillah in whatever we're doing. I think that's it. We don't have to write it in our notes, especially if they're going up.
Okay, that's
an
upward solution. The Basmala, we need to know that it is a recommendation. Because we don't want the child to feel, I didn't say Bismillah. I'm now in calamity. Allah is not happy with me. So we don't want to take it into the realm of obligation and sin. So we encourage Bismillah. There is reward if you say it. Not you must say it. Because they are very impressionable and you know it can affect them negatively. So we stress the reward which comes in saying it. It's not
your sister just said regarding secondary school students who write national exams. I think you can teach them all that has to do with Islam all the way to their last year. Then their last year you can give them all the orientation they need to write the exams. You can tell them what is needed in the exams and you can tell them the things that if they do might unify their exams. Perhaps with that they will take care of all that you are afraid of. And number two, I don't know, there was an attempt that we did in the past of coming up with a book on social habits, a book that has to do with morals. We thought of doing so looking at the need for morals for students and looking at the provisions of the curriculum. There's nothing like that, so we said let's come up with a book on morals. And we thought of coming up with etiquettes on all the things that children need models in etiquette in going to the college, coming out, etiquette in sitting in the classroom, etiquette on playground, etiquette on so many things. Instead of putting together all the things that a Muslim child needs. And we've done something, although the work is not concluded. I don't know how you recommend that effort, plus this that we are doing now. With this, we are trying to see that in every subject we come up with something that has to do with morals. There we thought of coming up with a book of morals that will put together everything. Of course, there's a difference between the two. In this, you know, you when you come to your point, you need to search for something for the point. On that, you put together all that you need. How do you recommend our point input in the first place?
I believe that is a very commendable plan and effort. Inshallah, we hope to see it published. Because definitely it will benefit educational institutions, schools, etc. It will save the teacher a lot of research. It's just like our 1001 inventions, where if you come up with a book on, you know, etiquette for children, Islamic etiquette, something of that nature. So it becomes like a dictionary, where you can do it in a dictionary format, so it's easy search, because if you just put it, you know, maybe you can find some other format, but this is what I would suggest, if it's done in a dictionary way, you know, alphabetically, so it's easy for people to use it as a reference work. Inshallah. Further comment or question? Okay. Inshallah, we'll break here now. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. 15 minutes, or as close to 15 as possible. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحابه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. Now this is the fifth session, and this is a workshop dedicated to your lesson plans and to seeing how we can implement the 5-point lesson plan Islamization principle in your material as a practical example that we can all learn from. Unfortunately, the material which was sent in, because it was done in notebooks, it makes it very, very clumsy to try to do it and look at it here. I mean, we'll try something, but at least some were sent as documents. Those that were sent as documents were more easily worked with. So I'm going to do the first two, which came as documents. I don't know if we had some more, whoever made this preparation, were there some more documents that we had? Others were given to us as documents besides the first two that we had? There are other documents? Okay, so let me go through these first two, and then you can pull up some other documents, because it's much easier to work with the others, which are in notebooks. It's flipping pages, and pages are going small and big, and they have to be enlarged, and it's just a lot of confusion to try to look at it, you know, effectively. Anyway, if we look at this from Amana Academy, P2 means what?
Primary 2.
Week 11, first term. Okay, the course is science. And the focus of the lesson, or the lesson is on flower parts. Right? Plant parts, specifically flowers. So, there is no mention of any kind of Islamization here, so it's like it's raw. This is a raw lesson plan. So we can now make notes as to how we were going to go about this. So the objective was to know the functions of a flower, a plant, resources, 100 science lessons. This is a book, a textbook you must have in your library, I guess. Huh? And success criteria, the student must know what a green, that a green flowering plant has six parts. So it's the parts, not just flowers, right? Huh? Should mention the function of the flower in the flowering plants, as the should, and could draw a flower. Okay, so principle one, which is the classroom environment, right? What aids, visual, oral, physical aids, Islamic aids we can use to illustrate the parts of a plant, and in particular the flowers. We can develop some pictures of flowers which are around a masjid or around some other place of Islamic in the community, for example. There's some area which is known, an Islamic area, you can use that. Pictures of flowers and plants in general. We give it an Islamic flavor by the location that the flower is put, right? The flower could also even be in a home, in a vase or whatever. So this is now creative. You do your search images on Google, flower, try to find something, or you have to create something. Your art department should help you. That's number one in terms of the images in the class for this particular class. The second, that of historical relevance. What would we look for? Anybody has an idea? Huh?
Using scientists that have worked both in moving companies.
Botany, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, again, this is our 1001. We look for Muslim scholars, scientists of the past who spoke on botany and in particular who did works which are related to plants, flowering, plants, flowers, etc. You know? We do some research with that.
About medicinal plants or as the prophet discussed, medicinal? Uses some useful plants as the prophet.
Okay, but if we're talking about principle number one, principle number two is going principle by principle. So principle number two was historical.
Yes. As in, what's that book called?
Tippu-Nabawi?
Yes. Can it come under that?
That's, I think, a bit more general. You know? Huh? Yeah. But I'm saying we're dealing with plants and flowers.
Yes.
We don't want to go too far away from the actual topic. Go ahead.
To make the students understand that the effect of carrying from 1001 Islamic Convention is a Muslim. I can't really remember his name. But the first convention of carrying.
Gardening.
Yes,
Yes, okay, this is again showing what Muslims have done in regards to gardening, because flowering plants connected to gardening, though the topic then is still not actually gardening, right? We're still dealing with plants and the flowering parts. The idea is to try to stick as close as we can to our topic. You know, if we can't get something in, it doesn't mean we need to stretch it and pull something from anywhere, anyhow. Okay, we don't have to go to extreme in this, because the five pillars are not written in stone, right? These five principles. So if you're not able to get, you know, a principle in, don't worry about it. You move on to the next, you try to get what you can. So following that, the third principle was the Quranic verse about flowering flowers. And there are a number of verses in the Quran referring to them. So this you just pull up from Google or from your Mu'jam, verses regarding the flowers. And for the hadith, okay, if we have some flowers which are used medicinally, mentioned in the Quran, for example, you know, or for example, even black seed, which they come from the plant, from a flowering plant, this type of thing, you can make a brief mention of that. You know, what is known well from the Quran. And then we have the purpose, right? With the course, the class discusses the different parts of the plant and the variety of colors, and one of the things that we find in the Quran where Allah speaks about, you know, various.
Seeking knowledge and obligation made easy. Thought about studying for a long time? Tuition fees keeping you from actually starting? Islamic Online University has led a revolution in online learning. The world's first tuition-free degree, BA in Islamic Studies. Access the knowledge, any place, anytime, anywhere. It just doesn't get any easier than that. Classes, texts, assignments, completely online. Set your own schedule for the semester. No overseas travel required for the exams. Subjects taught by qualified English-speaking scholars. Weekly live sessions in virtual classrooms. With curricula based on those in Al Madinah University in Saudi Arabia, Al Azhar University in Cairo, and other reputable institutions around the world. Why wait any longer? You pay just a symbolic registration fee and are ready to begin the adventure of higher education. The most diverse student body of any university in the world. 130,000 plus registered students from 217 countries. Log in to the website for more details. www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.